I'm Paul Wiegraf, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio by phone is the Chief Operating Officer of the Rehoboth Art League, Sarah Ganter. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Here today to talk about an annual and really exciting event coming up, the Rehoboth Art League's 43rd annual Outdoor Fine Art and Fine Craft Show coming up on August 6th and 7th, and then again on the 13th and 14th, correct?
Correct.
I have those dates right.
Two weekends in August.
Great, good. First two weekends. Sarah, for the benefit of our listeners, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit of background about the Rehoboth Art League. It is really kind of a unique and special organization, not only down at the beach, but also, I mean, for Delaware.
It is. The Rehoboth Art League was founded in 1938. We are located in Henlopen Acres, which now is a town and neighborhood, but we're sort of the central piece of that, an old farmstead, which is the Peter Marsh House. That's one of our significant buildings we also refer to as the homestead. And we have about 3.5 acres of property here, that building and four others. So we house not only a part of Delaware history and Sussex County history, but we have exhibitions, we offer arts education, we have classes, a pottery studio, lots of painting, we host writers groups. We also have a collection of, our permanent collection houses some important pieces of artwork for the state of Delaware, including a large number of pieces of artwork of the Art League founders. So we have about 900 pieces in our collection that would include paintings, drawings, sculpture, antiquities, things from the original homeowners of the property.
Now, for that collection of 900 or so pieces, are those on exhibit? Do you rotate through those? And I know, because you also work with practicing artists, there you have exhibitions of live artists as well.
We do. We have a few galleries in our main building. We have the Corcoran Gallery, the Tubbs, the Ventures Gallery, and we also have, for our members, our members gallery, where they can sell their artwork to the public. So our exhibitions are rotating. Oh, I neglected to mention our homestead, the Peter Marsh Homestead, also houses exhibitions of artwork. So we do rotate some of the some of our collection onto campus occasionally, so that people can get a sort of sneak peek. We of course don't have enough space to hang everything at once or display everything at once, but we do have a new component in our one gallery recently named the Marcia and Henry DeWitt Gallery, which is dedicated to the permanent collection. So, for example, for the upcoming outdoor show that you mentioned, we're going to be having a display of artwork that has outdoor show themes. So this may include something by Howard Schroeder that he painted to represent the outdoor show here. Jack Lewis is another figure that we've used some of his artwork for the outdoor show. So while people are here at the event, they can see a sort of visual history of past artists' representations of it. So I think that'll be fun.
Now, in general, I mean, Delaware is really fortunate to have a number of art leagues. The Rehoboth Art League is the largest. What is the function of an art league, and how does that kind of differ from what we more traditionally, conceive of as a museum?
I have to say it feels more grassroots community-driven. Our members are very active. They're in here every day dropping off their artwork. It's part of our mission to help promote their creativity and to give them a chance to sell it and contribute to the economy. So I think that's a big part of it, but the members are a huge part of what we do here. They volunteer to help run the organization. We have a huge amount of things that they do, including at the outdoor show, for example. I think we have 100-plus volunteers that come in to help run that for two weekends. The majority of those are members. Our members staff the homestead to make sure that it's open during the season. That's all volunteer work. So they play a huge role in the organizational operation here.
That's really provides a great segue into the upcoming Outdoor Fine Art and Fine Craft Show. I mean, the Art League began as a and continues to be a member organization of artists. And you mentioned briefly the collection that you have. But now one of the purposes, I presume, of the craft show is to give living practicing artists an opportunity to exhibit their crafts, is right? Let's get into the details of the upcoming show, the first two weekends of August.
Well, this will be the 43rd year we're holding it. It's here on campus, and last year we drew about over 6,000 people over the course of two weekends, so it's a huge community event. We have over 125 artists that will be here on campus with booths or hanging their artwork on fences, and this is a way for people to come in, get a wide spectrum of artistic practice, and we'll also have demos going. Our potters do demos so people can see sort of how the craft works. Some of the artists in their booths do painting while they're sitting and chatting with passersby. We have children's activities. We have all kinds of stuff going on. We have some musical groups coming also that will come around the campus and perform. So it's quite an event.
Now, what is the range of artists in terms of discipline, genre, as well as geographic? I mean, how far do you draw from for this?
This is a very popular show nationally. We have people that come from as far away as Florida to this every year. And I should mention it's a juried show, so we sort of select as many of the top artists we can for it. Unfortunately, we don't have space to display everyone's work, but we really try to get a wide cross-section of what people are doing. So this could be ceramics, it could be jewelry making, it's glass blowing, it's more traditional arts like painting, it's collage, it's yard sculpture, it's anything you could think it would be.
And how I would imagine the logistics of putting this together are gargantuan. How long does it take to put, I mean, this is an annual event for 43 years now. Do you wrap up shop in mid-August and then immediately begin planning next year? I mean, what are the logistics of putting this thing together?
It's a huge organizational challenge, but it's good because there are many of the people that volunteer to help produce it every year come back because they enjoy being involved in it. So yes, right after the outdoor show ends, we will regroup and sort of debrief on what things we could improve for the next year. So it's everything from composing the applications to our members and non-members if they'd like to submit their artwork for consideration. That goes out in January. There are a lot of digital and sort of real world things that happen leading up to it, including laying out the space, walking through the grounds, figuring out where trees have grown so we don't put an artist there because that's been a challenge. So it's all kinds of things, and then also with coordinating all the volunteer work. So we are in Henlopen Acres, so parking's a challenge. We want to make sure that there are plenty of volunteers to manage traffic flow and things like that for, so that we're courteous to the neighbors too. So it's a lot, but it's a good time, and people come back year after year. So
now you mentioned there you have about 125 in the show this year. Is that right?
Correct.
What kind of a pool of submissions do you get? I mean, what's the percentage of who you can accept and who you have to say try again?
I can say we can't take everyone that applies.
Right.
We do get well above and beyond that number.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a combination of members as well as non-members, obviously, since you're drawing from a region.
Actually, you need to be your membership needs to be up to date if you are an exhibiting member for the outdoor show.
Okay. So these are members from abroad, from far away.
Some of them are a lot of our draw is regionally.
Got it.
People
okay.
come in and bring their artwork throughout the year because
right.
they can also sell in the gallery here.
Got it.
But this specific show does draw people from sort of far away just to participate. It's a well-respected show.
Now, what about the audience or the attendees? You mentioned you had, I think you said 6,000 last year?
Yes.
Where do they come from?
They come from all over, and in fact, we make it a point to advertise next year's outdoor show dates because this event, like other events we have during the summer, people plan their vacations around so that they are in town to attend it. So, for example, we just completed our cottage tour the other week, which is a collection of 7 private homes and then the homestead here on campus, and it's a way for people to get a glimpse of interior design, artistic, anything you could think of, the architecture of different homes, so they get private tours. People plan their vacations around being here for that. So the outdoor show is sort of the same, and we like to make sure we plan way ahead so that people know when to be here. So we do get a lot of out-of-town guests for that, but, you know, we also get the locals who want a chance to come buy a painting from so-and-so because they know they always have a booth there.
Well, Sarah, I want to pursue this some more about the upcoming Fine Art and Craft Show. But first, remind our listeners that we are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest today, joining us by phone from the Rehoboth Art League, is the Chief Operating Officer, Sarah Ganter. And we are talking about the upcoming 43rd Annual Outdoor Fine Art and Fine Craft Show coming up on the first two weekends in August. Sarah, you're relatively new to your position as Chief Operating Officer, but not so new to the Rehoboth Art League. How many years have you been involved with this craft show in some capacity?
Well, this will be my first full year being involved in the planning to execution of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was here for last year's outdoor show, but I'm a native Delawarean, so I always came to this when I was little and we were on vacation at the beach. So I've come to it for a number of years, but this will be the first year I've been able to have a hand in planning it.
Now, assuming you also have people involved in the planning who have been engaged in this in the past, what are some of the challenges that you face annually?
Oh, challenges for the outdoor show? Just keeping up with the sort of year-long prep for it, I would say, is what I've noticed, just because it needs to start right after the show happens. You need to start planning for the next year. So just sort of keeping up with logistics year-round in preparation for it is a challenge.
While you're continuing all your regular programming.
Yeah.
Right.
We have exhibitions going we're open year-round. During the summer months, it's 7 days a week, but we have other exhibitions going in all the galleries, classes running year-round. So we also do outreach programs, which is taking arts education off-site to local community centers, schools, senior centers for people that cannot get here to campus. So yes, we're very busy.
Now, in putting this Fine Art and Fine Craft Show together, because you're bringing in so many people, I assume there's some kind of collaboration, communication with the local businesses. I mean, clearly they're going to benefit from this as well. What kind of outreach support do you get from the local business community?
We get very good support from local businesses, not just for the outdoor show, but all of our events and exhibitions throughout the year. Jack Lingo Realtor is our underwriter for the outdoor show this year. We also get a number of other sponsors. We have been hosting an annual Dogfish Head Beer Garden as part of the outdoor show, so that is very popular for people to take a break and go have a drink from, you know, the big beer distributor in our area. We have lots of sponsors for the show, so their support helps us to actually produce it. So they're great partners for this, and we like to publicize them on our website and in the event program, and we know that lots of people coming through the door, everyone's getting a program, and they're getting some good exposure too.
Now, for the attendee who's never been, where, first of all, before I forget to ask, where can they find more information about this show?
There's plenty of information on our website, which is rehobithartleague.org. For the outdoor show, there's an entry fee of $5 per adult, and that's good for the entire weekend. It runs for 2 weekends, so that'll get you admission for 1 weekend. No charge for children under the age of 12, and tickets can be purchased on site the days of the event. We also are running shuttles from Rehoboth Elementary School and Kmart, which is out by off of Route 1, so that people can park remotely and just enjoy the ride from Jolly Trolley as they come to campus. That makes things much easier.
And once they arrive at the estate there, what can attendees expect to see? How do they navigate through? You mentioned earlier that there's performances, presumably some kind of a schedule of. So, what would the day look like for someone who's never attended before?
Okay. Schedule of events. So Saturdays, the outdoor show is 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays it's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is rain or shine. Again, it's about 125 artists, and they have booths all over campus. We're also offering lunch. You can buy lunch while you're here, and a local restaurant, Naj, does that. We're also having goodies and food and coffee, which is essential. By the Point, that's another local business. We'll have our lemonade stand we run. That's for the benefit of our outreach program, so proceeds from that go to support teaching off campus. We'll have kids activities like face painting. We do have a schedule of musical performers. Some of them are sort of stationary in the garden. Others are sort of like an a cappella group and will roam around campus, so you'll have to go find them. And then our other exhibits will be up in the galleries, so everything is basically open to the public that day, so you can come and go anywhere you want.
So, so of course you're hoping for good weather both weekends, as we all are. Sounds like a really exciting opportunity to get out to a beautiful property. First of all, for people who have never been there, it's just a lovely. Lovely grounds, which, as the chief operating officer, must in and of itself be a pretty huge task for you to not only think about the artwork, but also the grounds and the buildings and the facilities. Let's diverge for a little bit. We have a few minutes left. I would love for you to sort of elaborate on some of the programming you do. You touched on some of the education programming and education outreach. If you could elaborate on that, because really, with your pool of artists, you do some phenomenal work.
That's true. The outreach. This is an important part of our programming, just to sort of disseminate arts education into more underserved communities. We also do some things that we call inreach. So, for example, we host the Salvation Army once a month here to do a free art class for them. So people will get bused here to do that. We also have a lot of really good partnerships with other local organizations. For example, this year we partnered with Sunrise Rotary out of Rehoboth Beach and to do an empty bowls project. So they were interested in raising funds to support soup kitchens and local food pantries. So what the Art League was able to do was offer our potters group to produce these one-of-a-kind bowls, which were then sold at the event. So that was a pretty remarkable partnership. And I think they raised over $15,000 to give back to food pantries locally. So those are the sorts of things that we're interested in here, is working with what we can offer other organizations to sort of spread out through the community to places like Fighting Hunger, things like that.
And in addition to the education, both outreach and inreach programs you have, you alluded earlier to a variety of exhibitions throughout the course of the year. Could you speak to some of them? Because I know some of them are like your member exhibitions, and you also have some student exhibitions. If you could speak to that range.
Right. So we have a variety of exhibitions. Some are members only, so you'll need to be a Rehoboth Art League member to apply for that. Others are sort of open to non-members also. What we have going now is the Members Fine Craft exhibition. That's the 43rd annual. And that is a wide variety of artwork. So out there right now are baskets, ceramics, fiber, glass, some handmade paper, jewelry, lots of things. Our best in show was given to Bea Whitehead, and she is a basket maker. She lives in Lincoln, I believe, and is, I want to say, 90 years old, but she is something else, that she grows gourds on her property and sort of transforms them into these works of art as baskets with textiles, fabrics, all kinds of stuff. She's pretty amazing. So she was our best in show winner this year. Next up, we have, this will open July 29th, the 78th Annual Members Fine Arts Exhibition. So our artistic director is sort of organizing that right now. And we actually, our awards judge for that show is going to be Jackie Millad. She is with the Delaware Contemporary, so we're very excited to have her come down and contribute her expertise and talk about the artwork that's on the walls here. After that, we have our September 9th opening for the 7th Regional Juried Biennial. This is a big one, and we've been getting a lot of interesting submissions for that. The curator we have for that show is the founding director of the Contemporary Museum in Baltimore. So we're bringing in some good people, and we're trying to get them to also partner their visit with a gallery talk that is free and open to the public, that they can come in and hear directly from curators or someone that has been directly involved in the exhibition, just as another component to the program.
Well, just a really ambitious series of exhibitions, and I clearly didn't leave enough time for you to go through
That's
the whole
okay.
list. We're running out of time here. But just once again to remind our listeners of the upcoming 43rd Annual Outdoor Fine Art and Fine Craft Show at the Rehoboth Art League in Henlopen Acres, coming up on August 6th and 7th, and then again August 13th and 14th, the first two weekends in August. Our guest today has been Sarah Ganter, the Chief Operating Officer from the Rehoboth Art League. Sarah, it's really been a pleasure hearing of all the exciting work that you're doing down there.
Thank you. We hope we'll see you at the outdoor show.
Thanks again.
Okay.